Joined right now on the Arizona Sports Line by the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Robert Sarver, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Robert, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, especially in the middle of one of your preseason games. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we got a doubleheader today.
Yeah, another doubleheader. I know everybody's excited for the season, especially after what you guys did last year, but there is this the lingering, you know, contract negotiations that are ongoing right now with Mikal and DeAndre. And DeAndre did speak yesterday and said he was disappointed with how things have gone so far. Can you give us an update? Do you feel confident that a deal will get done with DeAndre and Mikal?
Well, I can't blame you for asking, but, you know, as you know, we never negotiate or discuss personnel issues publicly. It's just not fair to the players. It wouldn't be fair to James or to our fans. So I'm going to pass on that one.
You did meet with DeAndre Ayton last night, right? Correct? Just you and him?
I said I'm not going to discuss publicly our discussions.
Okay. Can you tell us at least if talks are ongoing or have they stalled?
I think James continues to speak to his agent.
Okay. And I mean, I would imagine, I mean, this is a fair question. I mean, I would imagine you do want to get something done, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if we can get something that works for both sides, we definitely would. And, you know, as you know, in restricted free agency, sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, getting a deal done a year early is a little more challenging than getting a deal done at the beginning of a season.
Yeah, I certainly we understand your unwillingness to discuss this, given that negotiations are ongoing, and we do appreciate you joining us in the middle of all this. I would like to ask you, if I could, about DeAndre's comments at the beginning of the week about being disappointed that something hasn't gotten done. Are you worried with all of this positive flow that you guys have going on as an organization right now that if something doesn't get done, that it might even temporarily kind of interrupt that flow that you guys have had going on since how last year ended?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for DeAndre, but I think he made his goals clear at Media Day in terms of what he wanted to try to accomplish this year, and he's had direct communications with our organization, you know, recently, and he's all in, and I'm not concerned about that.
All right. The last time we spoke with you was right before free agency was about to start, and you had at that time expressed a real confidence, at least the vibe I got, real confidence that something was going to get done with Chris Paul, and it did. Just a couple days after we spoke with you, it got done. Do you have a similar level of confidence about this, something with DeAndre getting done before the deadline comes in 5 days?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about the expectations. You guys made it to the NBA Finals last year. Ticket sales are through the roof. Everybody's excited about this team getting back to the NBA championship. You were able to keep the core of the team intact. How important was that to you?
Yeah, very much. I mean, we got 11 players returning. I believe our players, from what I've seen, seem to be charged up and healthy as they can be. And I don't think they could be any more ready. We all got a taste of the finals last season and came way unsatisfied. Our goal is to try to win it all, and I think we'll compete at a high level this year again.
How did you guys approach the offseason? It was a shorter offseason for your team and Milwaukee than anybody else. Less time to rest, less time to recover. How active was the training staff in making sure that these players got the proper rest that they needed to get ready for what's going to be a full 82-game season?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think our training staff, along with some of our analytics folks and, you know, all the new technology we have at the Verizon Performance Center, along with the coaches, mapped out individual plans for each person, you know, based on the load they carried. You know, for example, Devin, you know, going to the Olympics and having even a shorter off season, along with JaVale. So we really took an individual approach to each player. And tried to use the advantage of, you know, all the technology we have and health science that we've invested in over the last 5 years to put a plan in place for each person to give them the best opportunity to you know, get the recovery and be prepared for the season.
Robert Sarver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. We, like I mentioned, we had talked to you right about the time the Olympics were about to get underway, or they had just gotten underway. Devin Booker is as a gold medal winner, the role that he played in that, not to discount what JaVale did, but Devin Booker starting and playing the role that he did. Share with us what you can, what sort of conversations you might have had with Devin about that experience and the role that he played in that experience for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was very excited to sign up to play, even though we did obviously, you know, play well into July. But he's a hooper and he's a competitor. And, you know, he said he viewed it as a real privilege and honor to represent his country. And he liked the interaction with the other players, you know, on the team, and just another chance for him to work on his game and different things on his game. And, you know, he told me he had a great experience.
There was a story that I don't think we brought it up on the show yesterday, but I know it has been talked about on our station. The kind of continuity factor of the Phoenix Suns in 2021, 2022, how no team brought more players back. And yet you guys did add some key pieces. You mentioned JaVale, Landry Shamet as well. How bullish are you on the new players that you added to the mix and yet still bringing most of your core back the way you did?
Well, we said at the outset that, you know, bringing our core back was important. And it started with Chris Paul and Campaign. And so we wanted to, you know, solidify that at the point guard position. And then, you know, we were fortunate. We were able to bring in Alfred Payton, who started a number of games last year and has played with some of our folks, and we're fortunate we have him. He's playing tonight, obviously, with Chris sitting. And then, you know, adding Landry and JaVale, who both have a lot of experience, Landry playing in Monty's system with Monty in Philly. And I think you've seen in the preseason so far that both players, because of their basketball IQ, have fit in, you know, pretty seamlessly to how we've been playing. And, you know, they're both very excited to be here. And I think they'll be good additions for different reasons, but I think they'll both be real good additions.
What's the key that you guys have had in bringing in the right players, players who accept their role, and if they have to sit for five games and then play, they're okay with that. They'll do whatever it takes. Because in the past, as you know, there's been players that have come here that just for the money, or they've come here without the willingness to fit in and be a team player. But it did seem like last year, everybody was cheering for each other. Those guys are up. They were I mean, you had such great team chemistry. I'm sure there was something to making sure that when you do sign a player, that you're signing the right player.
Yeah, I think there's a part of that is definitely important. You know, sometimes players with a little more experience and a little more maturity tend to see things a little bit differently. And so, you know, they're a little more receptive versus younger players who are trying to carve out their identity and their role. I think part of it is that Monty and James are pretty clear and upfront with people we talk to about signing with our team as to what their role, what the coach envisions their role to be and their responsibilities. And so they try to be real upfront with people on the front end, which always helps. And then winning helps, you know, people always say chemistry. Is it, does the chemistry come first and then the winning, or does the winning help with the chemistry? You know, I think it works both ways, to be honest with you.
Robert Sarver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show, the season opener for the Suns 1 week from tonight when they take on the Denver Nuggets, but also tonight you mentioned the doubleheader down there at Footprint Center. Suns preseason going on right now, but then the Mercury, of course, game two of the WNBA Finals. I've only lived here in Phoenix, so I can't speak to what it's like in other markets, but from your perspective, the synergy between these two organizations, their players, and how well they support each other, what from your perspective, what has that been like to kind of take in over the years, Robert?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just start with tonight with the Suns, you know, making the sacrifice to play early and allow the Mercury to play their game in prime time. You'll see a lot of our players there rooting on the team after the game, and you're also going to see a lot of Trailblazer players there. They postponed their trip back to Portland right after the game so they could stay and watch the game. So kudos to them for supporting the WNBA and in the players. But, you know, they share the same training facility and they share the same weightlifting room, and you know, a number of the physio people help each other, and so, you know, it's one big family, and I think there's a lot of respect on both sides, and our players from both teams have, you know, built relationships with each other, and they root for each other, and for me, it's really great to see.
You were on with us 3 months ago, and I'll end with this, and you said that you know that paying the luxury tax is coming with the hopes of winning a championship, and I think you thanked for the fans and the city and everything for getting the arena done and helping to get the arena done, and you talked about your practice facility. Has anything changed on that front, or do you still expect that, hey, this is going to be a team that to win a championship is going to have to pay the luxury tax?
Well, I won't necessarily speak for the league as a whole in terms of having to pay a luxury tax to win a championship, but in terms of our roster, the way we're configured and the way our contracts are lined up, we will be paying the luxury tax next year.
All right. Robert, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for the conversation, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay, good. Hope to see you guys tonight, too.